Well, that was supposed to be a beer opening. Hello, there it is. Hey, everybody, this is Sots Watch. Thanks for stopping by.
Welcome in.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug.
Guys, welcome back to another edition of Sots Watch. Today, we're going to be covering San Diego Comic-Con 2018. A lot of trailers coming out. Some interesting-looking movies, a couple other TV shows that we also watched. Might be pretty cool. We'll see what comes of that. But as usual, we're going to start off with talking about what we're drinking today.
I'm going to go ahead and go first on this one because I'm drinking something that's rather delicious. It's from a Pizza Port Brewing Company out of Carlsbad, California, and it is their amber ale. They call it Chronic Ale. Yeah. It is
cheeky.
It is delicious. I mean, I don't know if there's any hemp in there. Let me read the side of the can for you. We have brewed more Chronic Ale overall than any other beer in our vast portfolio at each and every port. It is a crowd pleaser and an awesome introduction to craft beer, given its smooth, relatively low alcohol nature. This mellow amber ale goes well with anything and can be enjoyed all by itself. 4.9% alcohol. It's only like a few like tenths of a percent less than a regular. I was going to say.
Yeah, that's not super
Let the
low.
Record show that Ben is drinking Michelob Ultra tonight. You can call it what you want. We know what you have.
What I am drinking tonight is a little something from Wisconsin Brewing Company called Chocolate Lab Porter. It's 5.2%. I have not tried this before. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But it's chocolate. It's a porter. I mean, you would think.
It usually sounds pretty good. Is it like real coffee heavy? I know a lot of those porters throw down on coffee.
I'll tell you what. I'm not getting much chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's good enough for me.
But I am getting porter.
Go ahead.
I mean, what else matters?
What's the one? Do you guys remember the one that tasted like a chocolate milkshake?
Yeah, I can't.
I know I had it with you guys. This is fascinating podcast radio, but I'll look that up later. It doesn't matter right now.
Young's Double Chocolate.
I'm drinking another Zipline Mimosa White, which I'm pretty sure I've had before. But if we go long enough, I have a Devil's Gap Jalapeno Ale that Aaron left over here a while ago. So that might be a nice treat for everybody at the end. I'm not a huge spicy beer fan. I get hiccups really bad, so we'll see how that goes.
It's not super
spicy. Well, I like spicy foods, but I don't know if you guys were there, but Beer Fest in Lincoln a few years ago, they had made a ghost pepper beer, and it was terrible.
Yes. Yeah, I was there, and I tried it, and I could not drink anything for the next
and remember, we had that one early, so it was almost a huge waste of time.
Sure. Yeah, it was. Oh,
it's just
treat.
It had no flavor at all. It wasn't even really spicy. It just it hit you. You just felt warm, and then you had the hiccups for 15 minutes. It was gross.
Mm. Yeah, it was pretty bad. I guess my backup is Infusion, local here to
from Porter to Vanilla
Omaha,
is
Nebraska.
An equally
so not
delicious treat.
Incredibly local. Vanilla
my
Bean Blonde
is just another crime.
I figured going from chocolate to vanilla might be a good treat, but since there's no chocolate, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm boring.
It'll be fine. Well. All right. Some of us like to mix it up. Others, they just stick with what they know. It's fine.
I love to imagine our friend Dane that is a huge beer aficionado. I love to imagine his face when we're describing our beers because he's probably outraged. Because he's having this one was brewed in Bhutan
they put
pineapple
in 1647 in this one.
Using hops only found on the north face of a sacred mountain. And we're like, yeah, I got Zipline again.
Hmm. Wonderful.
Well, what are we talking about other than that bunny I ran over like an hour ago with my lawnmower?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Doug's a murderer.
We had
folks.
Successfully chased off. So here's what happened. It did that thing in Nebraska where it didn't rain for 3 weeks, so the lawn wasn't really that bad. I probably should have mowed it, but it was fine to let it go. And then earlier this week, it rained for 2 days straight, so of course I had a jungle in the backyard. I knew they were back there, but they looked old enough where they were like running around that I didn't worry about it. But I got to kind of a patch in the corner that was taller, and I saw three of them dart out at the last possible second. So I stopped, had my wife come out, and we kind of kicked around. And we literally had to like pick them up and move them because they're at the age where they're planting because they're not old enough to actually run away.
Yeah.
So that was fine. Okay. I got the whole backyard done. I was doing the front yard, and I was going next to the fence, and I heard a boom, and immediately, like, oh, wonderful. So, don't worry, it died in the most horrific way possible, flopping around and everything. But
good.
I thought it was, it's still sad that I killed it, but in retrospect, it actually was probably dead the instant it went into the mower. Because it looked, this is very gruesome, but when I first hit it, it literally looked like I only took skin off, like, the bottom of the, like, all the way off the bottom. So, I ran inside, and Chelsea grabbed some, her nail polish remover and stuff, and we were going to go suffocate it real quick. But by the time we got out there, it was maybe 15 seconds, and it was already dead. So, and when I looked at it, it definitely had been dead since the moment I hit it, without going into too much detail.
See, there you go.
It was horrifying, but it could have been a lot worse. Yeah. Also, there's like 200 still back there, at least so it'll be okay.
Yeah, at least it went quickly.
But now, technically, the beer that you're drinking is like Viking, you have slain something.
Yeah, slain a great beast. I actually probably should have eaten that.
Oh, you didn't eat its heart?
No, it would have been... I mean, these things are tiny. The heart would have been the size of half of a peanut. Maybe. That big.
And it's a baby bunny, so it's not like a great deal of courage, but it's a little bit of courage.
That's true. It's more courage than I probably had going into the day.
Yeah, that's probably a good source of protein.
But
what you should have done was you should have made a cowl for your cat.
Oh, yeah.
A little bunny cowl.
But that's the thing, it's so small. I mean, you've seen my cat. It would maybe go down to the cat's shoulder blades. Maybe.
Then
a
nice floppy hat for the cat.
I could have done that.
Well.
Or some nice little bunnies.
Sotskers, let's all raise our drink to the bunny that Doug held. Cheers.
Rest in peace. Born probably 6 days ago.
Died how he lived.
Pour one out.
It did die how it lived, cowering in my grass that got way too long.
Like a hero.
At least it's better. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but I probably have, about the rash of bunny beheadings that was going on in our backyard for a while.
So which member of your household is the sociopath, Doug?
Well, today it's me, but then do we get into this whole thing? Have I been... sleepwalking at night and going out and just tearing the heads off bunnies, hiding the bodies somewhere and leaving the head in the middle of the yard.
Have you?
I don't know. I don't have. We don't have any video cameras or anything outside.
You should
or
get
inside,
one of those.
But
one of those wildlife cams.
I should. And then, what do I do if I find out it is me?
I think we cross that bridge when we come to it.
Well, I asked our friend, he owns a wildlife management company, when the beheadings were happening. I was like, do you know any animal that would do that? And he replied, Satan. So, I'm like, oh.
Great.
Oh.
Not any animal.
Oh, Satan's everywhere, Doug. The greatest trick he ever pulled was making you believe he wasn't real. But he's there, pulling baby bunny heads off their bodies in your backyard.
Yeah. Leaving rabbit heads in my yard. In the backyard, yeah.
Idle yards are the devil's playground, as the Bible passage goes. Corinthians, I think.
Everyone knows that one.
Of course.
Speaking of Satan,
Comic-Con
happened this last weekend.
It sure did.
Not even.
Did you guys pay attention to it at all while it was going on?
No.
It's just not the same. I don't even know... I'm probably thinking of E3 when I say, like, it used to seem like it was a bigger deal media-wise. Like, you could find stuff watch stuff while it was happening.
I think you're right. I think it also used to be a bigger deal because I think there were fewer cons for much of history.
True. Do you think it had anything to do with Marvel not being there at all? Well, not at all, but not really doing anything there this year, since that's the juggernaut franchise right now.
It probably had an impact.
Probably had an impact.
We'll get into this, but it gave DC an opportunity to shine a little brighter. They did.
Yeah, and they did.
They did. Maybe Marvel just wants a little competition.
Hey, Nietzsche said that we're made strongest by our enemies, so maybe that's exactly what Marvel's doing.
Well, shall we dive right in?
Yeah.
And actually, let's just continue on that thread, since we're already talking about DC. They had two big trailer premieres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two big ones.
At Comic-Con.
Yeah.
One of them, I think, was a surprise. But the other, I think, was anticipated. The first one let's talk about is Shazam.
Shazam.
Shazam, which follows DC's Captain Marvel. Not to be confused.
Yep. Who I think they actually took Captain Marvel away. I don't think they even call him Captain Marvel in the comics anymore, if I remember right.
I believe he's actually IMDb credited as Captain Marvel.
Is he? Oh, yeah. No. Really? I should have looked that up beforehand.
I'd have to look that up again.
Huh.
But yeah.
But yeah, you're right. And I think the original Captain Marvel, as far as comic books in general,
I think you are correct, yes.
What'd you guys saw the trailer?
Yeah, I just watched it.
Of Zachary Levi?
I did.
What'd you think?
I think it looks really fun. You know, Shazam or Captain Marvel is not a character I know a whole hell of a lot about or give much of a care for. But this looks really fun. And I can't remember who said it. One of my friends online said, the trailer makes this look like Superman meets Big. And that seems fun.
Yeah. 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 And I'm glad they kind of, cause it's one of those, I knew more about Shazam. He definitely a fringe character. But obviously I knew kind of the whole story behind it. It's the kid who says Shazam and turns into Captain Marvel, has his powers, blah, blah, blah. But I think especially with the way the DC universe had been going, I was really worried when they said they were going to make Shazam, because I thought let's take this story and go dark and gritty because blah blah blah. So
right,
I was really happy to see the trailer.
Okay, I was
doing the opposite, and they're doing exactly like you said. It's Superman meets Big. He still has the kid personality.
Yeah, I was wrong. He is Shazam.
He is Shazam now. I wonder. I thought they had changed that once. Captain Marvel of Marvel comics had gotten more popular.
Yeah, yeah. So he is. But yeah, I mean, it looks exciting. It looks fun. I like the other characters that we see in it. You know, I like his, without obviously giving away anything, that if you haven't seen the trailer, I'm not going to worry about spoiling the trailer for you. Go watch the trailer. But the young man whose name, Billy, what now?
Billy Batson.
Billy Batson. Has a foster brother, or you know, foster
something like that. Yeah, adopted brother.
They're both in foster care, but the other young man is crippled, disabled, I guess. Apologize, and is walking with the use of one of those arm crutches, the forearm crutches. And he's getting picked on by some bullies, and Billy Batson comes and beats them up and then goes running away. And that is how Shazam decides to make Billy Batson his champion. And it just seems to be taking itself with such a lighthearted tone. It's real refreshing to see from DC.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm a little, this won't really matter, but they're definitely doing the like, here's the rough and tumble kid who just needs to be loved by a family, and then they're just throwing superpowers on him.
Sure, but I mean, baby steps, right? Like, let's see if DC can figure out that they can write a superhero movie that is also another genre.
Do you think, did either of you guys see Justice League?
Nope.
No.
Okay. It's not like it was okay, but I wonder how much Zack Snyder stepping away and then Joss Whedon coming in, how much they kind of maybe were comfortable with changing the direction of some of the properties they were going. Because even they had The Rock as Black Adam for a long time, which is a Shazam villain, that they're getting rid of that, supposedly. Whoever really knows, these things change minute to minute. But it seems to me that since Justice League came out, and certainly part of it is that it just didn't do nearly as well as they wanted it to monetarily, but it seems like suddenly they're much more comfortable handing the properties over and letting the directors do something that makes sense for their character rather than dark and gritty, everything underlit and slightly red.
Yeah.
All the characters hate each other, but they have to get along, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
We have to work together, Martha.
And that makes even less sense. When you eventually see Justice League, it's... Oh, boy. We could go all day.
Aaron, what did you think of the Shazam trailer?
I would pretty much agree. It looks pretty fun. Glad they're taking a brighter, more upbeat tone rather than the dark, gritty tone we're used to for DC movies. I will say... Oh, my phone fell over. I will say my... And maybe I'm just inherently nitpicky with stuff like this, but there's a scene where they're like testing out some of the powers. And it's the flight test. He hops up, flies a little bit, and then comes falling down. Spoiler alert. Uh-huh. Trailer spoiler. Something about the CG didn't really click with me. But again, it's a very early trailer. They have plenty of time to work that out. So that's just me nitpicking like the old crab that I am.
Well, but...
Yeah. Well, in the CG, we see that a lot. That the CG is done. So
I would also say when looking at a DC trailer, if nitpicking the CG is like the biggest thing, then like it's a pretty, it bodes well for the DC movie.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Because the CGI in all the other movies is pretty much like a foregone conclusion. Like, oh, Cyborg. Ugh.
Yeah. Cyborg bothered me. Just that was bad. Way too much going into
it
that.
Well, Cyborg was dumb because they decided to do him. Well, Zack Snyder overdesigns everything. Sure. That's no secret. But they decided to have half of his face be robot, half human, like the character looks in the comic books. But it looked so bad when they did it that they ended up having to CGI the actor's real face back on anyway. So, like, what are you doing, man?
I didn't know that. Ugh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's why it looks extra bad. Also, they got to a point where they were like, we just need to get this movie out. So, what'd you think of the costume? Because there was a lot of consternation when those set pictures came out of Zachary Levi in the costume. I think it's
perfect, I don't see any. I don't know the character well enough to really have any canonical problems with it, but I think it looks pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it looks pretty good. Again, in and of itself, having that sort of vibrant color to it, the bright red, glowing yellow.
Mm-hmm. I liked it, too, because it looks exactly like it does in the comic books, but that's not always the best thing. But I like that they went exactly that way because it looks over the top, but it's intentional. Like, his muscles are a little too big. The cape and hood are just a little too perfect. I think it looks
awesome. Oh, yeah, I think it looks perfect. And, you know, I think we could get a little bit into, like, if you really wanted to, isn't the character Shazam, or originally Captain Marvel, isn't he a bit of a mythos, an image, a projection anyway? So wouldn't he be a little kind of, like, hyper-perfect because he's a thought made flesh, kind of?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, that's exactly right. He's more the ideal. And it depends on the writer, but it was in Billy Batson's mind. What does a hero look like? What does it look like to, you know, the mythology of what modern society's mythology of a superhero.
Well, and especially if Billy Batson, because in this one they have Billy Batson doesn't know anything about superheroes or comic books when he becomes one, right?
Because he
goes to his foster brother or what have you, and asks him, like, hey, you know about this comic book stuff. Tell me how to be a superhero.
You look like a real nerd kid from It.
But it would make sense that if Billy Batson is kind of ultimately, it's his image that becomes the embodiment of Shazam, if he doesn't understand the nuance of, you know, comic book superheroes, he would probably create something that looks very basic and kind of like caricature-esque.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Because he's thinking in archetypes.
Yep. Just what he's seen in passing. Kind
exactly,
of
thing. Yeah.
What about the other DC property?
I think that brings us... I almost wanted to jump in earlier when you said underlit and toned red. Because the big surprise, the big reveal, and some people are real excited about it, is Aquaman. And I'll...
You said some people...
Not me.
Does that mean not you?
Not me. I tell you, I'm not excited for it. I'll tell you, if Aquaman, looking like it does here, had come out instead of or at the time of like Dawn of Justice, I would have been very excited.
We actually call it Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. We like the full title. Mess at all times.
Forgive me, Sod Screws. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. If that time and placement had been this Aquaman movie instead, I would have been very excited for this movie. As I see it, this is like, it looks like it's going to be like a fun, mediocre superhero movie that would have been a good entry into the DC universe. It feels too little too late.
So you think it should have come first?
Yeah, because here's what
I think. I would agree with that.
I think Marvel did a great thing by Iron Man is a really cool hero, and now we all think of him as the main Marvel hero, right? Because that's how MCU did it. Before that, if you can really put your mind like back in before Iron Man times, would you have considered Iron Man like the Marvel superhero? No.
No, he wasn't that. He was not. He was one of... He wasn't like fringe like the Guardians of the Galaxy were, but he was like a B. He was a B.
He
B
was
plus,
B,
maybe.
Yeah, like A minus B plus.
Like people knew who he was, but that's about... He wasn't Wolverine. He wasn't Captain America. Yeah. He wasn't the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, exactly. I think Aquaman fits a similar bill to the DC universe. Because they specifically have, they've got the big three, right? They've got Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. Big three.
Mm-hmm. Right.
After that, you've got like Green Arrow, Aquaman, the Flash. The Flash you could also include with the big three. It could be the big four, but I think it's really those core three.
Yeah. Yeah, you could put, I would put the Flash in there probably, but yeah.
I just think Aquaman.
I think
Aquaman could have been a more interesting entry point.
Sure, because of the freedom you have to kind of mess with it.
I would agree with that. My thoughts on the trailer itself, I have it here in my notes as Black Panther in reverse.
Okay.
So by that I mean the whole trailer is basically, obviously, origin story of Aquaman, which apparently he was just a kid living on land that discovered his powers getting bullied at an aquarium, according to this trailer anyway.
Which, not that different from Harry Potter.
Not really.
It's not that different from many classic stories, but
this is true.
On.
The point that drew that sort of critique, I guess, or that observation, was when they were like, all right, you need to return back to your homeland and challenge your brother for the throne. So obviously brother has already been running Atlantis, and now outsider with a blood relation to the king is now challenging him to the throne. So Aquaman isn't Killmonger by philosophy, I suppose, by
but
motives.
it's kind of like it feels like Black Panther with just the whole front end of it cut off. Like Killmonger is on the throne. And now the rightful, because they even say you must take your rightful place as king.
Sure.
No.
So yeah, I guess comparing Aquaman to Killmonger wasn't accurate, but no, you're absolutely right though. It's basically cutting out half of Black Panther and just having the villain on the throne right from the get-go. So.
I know way too much about Aquaman lore to tell you that you guys are both probably wrong, but I can see why based on that trailer.
Well, let me say
it's definitely put together that way.
I'm interested to know why we're wrong, if that's something we can get into in this podcast.
Well, I can. I mean, I can go into like a lot of it, but it's probably going to spoil parts of the movie and just this general story of Aquaman. They're kind of probably touching on. They're fudging the line a little bit, and it's also a comic book character, so his origin has changed, you know, a dozen times, if not more, since he first premiered. But if you don't want to hear about what the movie's probably about, jump ahead several minutes. But actually, I'll explain this in 30 seconds. So if you don't want to have anything about this movie, even though I could very much be wrong, just jump ahead 30 seconds. But his mother is the queen of Atlantis. I don't know why in the movie she's not here, because the storyline in the comic books messed with that a bunch. She's the queen, is sort of exiled, but not really. Has a child with a human. So Aquaman's a half human, half Atlantean.
Uh-huh.
Normally in the comics, he was kind of raised mostly in both worlds, but in this one, I'm not sure how they're. It kind of looks like he's raised on land, and then they're like, hey, we need your help, so can you come back? Anyway. No more spoilers for Aquaman's backstory. And again, that's how I remember it from years ago. I haven't read Aquaman in a long, long, long time, so.
I personally am interested in potentially seeing a later on Aquaman movie where he is maybe not so friendly with the land dwelling. That's my favorite iteration of Aquaman anyway, where he is not so friendly with the land dwellers. He's pissed off, like an angry Poseidon, more or less.
I think they're probably too afraid of drawing comparisons to Namor the Submariner from Marvel.
I guess,
that guy hasn't appeared in movies at all, so
this is true.
It may not matter, but
I thought we got a reference to Namor, but maybe I was imagining
that. At the end of Iron Man 2, when they were talking about the Avengers Initiative and they had that map on the background, they had a bunch of dots that were in places that made sense, and then there was one in the middle of the ocean.
Ah.
So there was one in, like, Central Africa, Wakanda. There was one in L.A. for Tony Stark. There was one in New York for, I think that was supposed to be Captain America, because he'd just been unfrozen in their timeline. There was one in Arizona where they found Thor's hammer.
I see.
And then there was one in the middle of the ocean. There were a couple more. I don't remember where they were, though. But you can tell I watched too closely.
And that's why you're part of this podcast, Doug. We need you. We need that brain. I it looks like it could be a fun movie. The tropes of, like, oh, I'm just a small kid. I'm getting picked on. And now, oh, it's a good thing I got picked on around some fish, because now the fish could help save me. That's how I know I'm super.
Yeah. Do you think Jason Momoa was a small kid?
Yeah, right. I
feel like he was.
I'm gonna grow up
230 pounds.
I'm gonna grow up to be Jason Momoa someday. You'll see.
I hope it seemed like they wanted to do the tone of they're sort of telling a serious story, but they also know what kind of movie they're making. And I hope they can actually balance that. Because Aquaman, his power set is kind of silly on its face. So I hope they get that right balance, because that's, I don't know, that's going to be tough to do. I don't know much about James Wan, the director.
You know, but one thing that occurs to me is in the trailer, you see a little bit of Black Manta. And even in the little bit that we see, I actually like the way he looks. I don't know if...
You did. I
yeah,
was
you
opposite.
Did not like it.
And again, it's just a quick glimpse, so it's hard to say.
Sure.
But it looked silly. But and like Aaron said earlier, those shots aren't done.
Those
yet,
shots
so.
Aren't. They're not done right. yet. But also is, I don't know. It's a bit like I could see them try like going too hard in. Like, can you imagine what they would have made Black Manta look like in the 90s?
Oh boy.
Or like Black Manta if he had appeared, I don't know, in the Nolan Batman movies. Like, that's what I think is going to happen if you try and take a character like Black Manta too seriously. And he looks, here's what I think. He looks like a better version in the trailer. He looks like a better version of whatever the destroying robot is called from the original Thor movie. The destroyer.
I think it might be the destroyer. Let me just run down James Wan's just stuff he directed only, not producer wrote. Mm-hmm. Directed. We've got Saw, Dead Silence, Death Sentence, Doggy Heaven, no idea. Insidious, The Conjuring, Insidious 2, Furious 7, Conjuring 2, and now Aquaman. So to say he has a horror background is cutting it short, but
yeah. I liked the first Saw. I wasn't too crazy on Insidious, if it's the movie I think it was.
I never went to see Saw.
God.
I never saw Saw.
You never seesawed? Oh, you never saw Saw.
Oh, yeah, I definitely have seesawed.
You never had a seesaw?
I've never seen Saw.
Just so angry right now. But Jordan Peele had directed exactly zero movies when Get Out came out. James Gunn had only directed... Oh, are we supposed to talk about him? He had only directed weird trauma stuff and then Guardians of the Galaxy.
We can talk about James Gunn in another episode because I think it's a topic worth talking about. Just to put this podcast in timeline, folks, James Gunn, just a few days ago, maybe a week ago now, was fired from...
It was only three, four days ago. But yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Disney fired him because some old tweets had surfaced that were not tasteful. No.
Oh, no.
Not tasteful.
They were not.
I haven't gone through all of them. Just to put you in timeline, what we're talking about. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, they were all... Yeah. I said there were a lot. The tweets resurfaced. It was something that he had addressed in 2012. We'll get into that next time. It's a complicated and weird situation. I think I'm annoyed that he got fired because of how it happened. But Disney fires people kind of willy-nilly. They fired Lord and Miller because they didn't like Solo. They fired Rogue One after it was done. Rogue One's director after it was done filming. Because they were worried that it didn't feel like Star Wars, and they gave Rian Johnson the thumbs up because that movie didn't feel like Star Wars. So, Disney's... Yeah. I don't know what Disney's doing, but they're making a lot of money, so I don't think they're going to care anytime soon.
Right.
Anyway, should we move on to the next trailer? Aquaman looks like... In my opinion, I'm very optimistic, but I'm optimistic in... Ooh, very cautiously, because the Suicide Squad trailer looked fantastic. Warner Brothers panicked because they're like, oh, this movie's nothing like the trailer, and people love the trailer, recut the movie. The movie sucked.
Yeah.
The Aquaman trailer has things I like, but concerns for me.
Do DC's movies are usually underlit and toned red. Aquaman is at least underlit and toned blue when it's not overlit and with way too much shimmer added in.
Yeah.
Or sure. Whatever. Bloom. Bloom, I think, is what that visual effect's called, where bright spots just look extra bright and you're like, my eyes are bleeding.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like figuring out lens flare the first time in Photoshop when you're like 12.
That's a good point.
Put that on everything. 40 lens flares. And that's speaking how J.J. Abrams makes movies.
That's right. And speaking of gratuitous CGI, how about Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald? The next Harry Potter universe movie.
I didn't see the Comic-Con trailer. Is it different from the trailer that came out?
Yeah, was it different?
Well, on that note, I'm not sure which trailer I saw. I don't even know if it was part of Comic-Con. But I already brought it up, so here we go.
It was at Comic-Con, I know for sure, because they had Johnny Depp come out in character for the panel.
Okay.
But I did not watch the trailer. I already saw one trailer for it, so.
So did I. So I'm going to base my opinion off of whichever trailer I saw. First of all, I have no point of reference for these Fantastic Beasts movies. I never saw the first one. I heard mixed reviews, but more.
I liked it a lot.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay. Compared to Harry Potter series, do you think it holds up? Do you think it's better? What do you think?
Here's how I would describe. You know how you'll talk to people and they'll be like, "Oh, so you're a Harry Potter fan?" Mm-hmm. No. The answer is no. I really enjoyed the Harry Potter books, for example. I thought they were fun. I liked several of the movies, not all of them. Fantastic Beasts, the first one, I thought it was pretty fun. It was, it's kind of one of those like movies you'd watch on TBS, just kind of whim, but a really good version of that. Like a really enjoyable version of that movie that you're like, oh, this is on, I'll watch it.
Sure.
Okay.
There was nothing like super groundbreaking about it, but it was, I liked it quite a bit.
Duggan,
I don't remember a lot of it.
I have one crucial question.
Mm-hmm.
What house do you belong to?
I don't know. I'm probably a Slytherin, if we're being honest.
Aaron?
I did take the Pottermore quiz, so I am officially Hufflepuff.
Ah, so here's the thing. Once upon a time, when that site first went up, I took the quiz, and I was Hufflepuff. I'm almost positive. But I tried to log in again, and I tried every email I've ever used, and it said, you do not have an account under any of these emails. So, I signed in again.
All right.
I signed in with my main email, and I was a Slytherin this time. And I'm pissed about both. I wanted to be a Ravenclaw, right? Because they're the clever, the smart ones, the I know things ones. And that seems like me. I'm kind of a hipster. But failing that, it's baby steps, Doug. Let me just say kind of a hipster, and then I'll work up to what a pathetic slave to fashion I am later. Failing that, Gryffindor sounds great, right? Because you're like, yeah, I'm brave. I'll be the courageous one. But I'm Slytherin, and can I tell you, it feels great. After just let, like, once you accept it, it just feels good to be Slytherin. You know? Well, like, why hide it?
Many consider it,
and I tell you, it's just, we just want to be the best. We just want to be the best. Is that so wrong?
You want to be the very best, like my real one ever was, or...
We're crossing universes. We're crossing universes.
My favorite thing I ever saw about those quizzes was somebody put, which house are you? The good guys, the bad guys, or miscellaneous?
No.
Well, they're not wrong. What even is Hufflepuff? Are they like...
They were like, it was that thing that a writer would do where, and not... to make their world feel more real, like there can't just be two houses where it's like clearly the good guys and clearly the bad guys.
Sure. So then they just kind of have like the B team, good guys, bad guys. Like it's Raven.
Yeah, because like Harry like villainous. Yeah, it's sort of like generic. It's yeah.
Okay.
Well, because think about like Hufflepuff is. Doug's right. It's this thing that a lot of writers do where it's like their merit is how ordinary and diligent they are.
Okay.
So you've got the courageous, and then you've got the greedy, and you've got the clever, and then you've got like the diligent.
You know who's really mad right now? Just to do an aside. Our friend Helen is furious listening to this conversation about our total lack of Harry Potter knowledge.
Oh, God. I look to the comments, Sotskers. If you see Helen talking, she's a wise woman.
Aren't Hufflepuff the ones that prefer ham sandwiches, but Ravenclaws over turkey sandwiches?
No. Here's how it goes, man. Okay. So, like, Hufflepuff. They're like a good like chicken tortilla soup, right? Okay, Ravenclaw is like a ceviche, right? Slytherin is something crazy like a paella, and then Hufflepuff is like borscht.
Borscht.
I think you've summed it
just
up
like.
Nicely.
See. I was going for all soups, but I kind of got away from it. But
you know, my favorite part, Ben, what you've done there with your explanation is that it's universally true, and everyone who will understand exactly what you mean.
Yeah, and there's no room for argument.
No, none.
No one in the comments could ever tell me I'm wrong or why. No one in the comments.
And if they are, they're just looking for fights.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's see. Comment battle. What are the four different houses in foods? Go.
Oh, boy. You just opened up.
I'm going to open this devil's gap, just so you know. So if you hear me die in the background.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So, yeah, final imprint. I believe the protagonist of Fantastic Beasts is Hufflepuff, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he's a Hufflepuff. I don't know that much about it.
I think.
Newt Scamander, because of course that's his
name.
Oh,
and yeah, I heard there was also a lot of controversy because apparently Dumbledore is not going to meet this Grindelwald character in the movie.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. Anyway. People give a lot of credit to J.K. Rowling for retroactively saying that Dumbledore was gay and had a relationship with Grindelwald. Nothing that was ever even sort of addressed in the books. So I'm dubious about how that happened anyway. But the director said they're not going to address that. He said we're not going to address that directly in this movie. So, I mean, you could feel how you want about that. You could be like, oh, they had a good opportunity to address it and they're not. That's fine. But
okay. So that
let's be honest, J.K. Rowling never put that anywhere. She just said it like several years later. So, look, I was being inclusive.
It felt like it kind of fell short, but
yeah. But so yeah, they said at least they're not addressing that directly, which I do think it's a missed opportunity, but also movie studios are going to tell you not to do it.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, things have to change at some point, right? Like, at any rate, that's a whole other show.
Plus, we don't know what the movie's about. Maybe it genuinely does not matter at all to the story they're telling.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
But yeah, I would recommend to you guys to watch that first movie. I found it very entertaining. It was nothing that like I left and like, oh yes, but it was fun. Everybody in it was really good.
I'll have to watch it.
It was well made.
Cool. So let's move on to the trailer I am the most excited to talk about.
Glass?
No. But let's talk about Glass since you named Glass.
We can just skip over that.
No. Let's talk about Glass.
Well, we'll talk about Glass quickly. You guys saw Unbreakable?
Nope.
It has been a long time since I've seen Unbreakable.
That's been a long time for me too. But did you guys see
Split? Spoiler alert,
no.
Split is a sequel to Unbreakable. If you hadn't seen Split, it's kind of the surprise. It's the twist at the end.
Yeah, they could definitely added that in later. You could tell, but
yeah. I have not seen Unbreakable nor Split, so again, no point of reference from my perspective.
So I need to see Split.
Well, once upon a time, there was a director named M. Night
Shyamalan. Yeah, and then he made several bad movies, and then he made Avatar: The Last Airbender, and I'll never forgive him.
But you list that outside of several bad movies, so it was a good movie.
No,
it was Ben's favorite movie. And he'll never forgive him for not being able to recreate that experience again.
Guys, I'm going to need you to real quick, like, I don't know, apologize, take it back. I'm furious right now. I'm just sitting angry in my apartment. I'm so mad.
So here's what the M. Night Shyamalan movies I've seen. I've been very fortunate. I saw The Sixth Sense.
Great movie.
Tremendous.
Sure.
I saw Signs. Apparently a lot of people hate it. I thought it was fine.
I wasn't opposed to it.
The Village was kind of where I fell off. And then he kept making movies like The Happening.
Ugh, where nothing happens.
Which I've never seen. No, nothing happens. Bad acting happens start to finish.
Yeah.
From what I've heard. And then he made a string of terrible movies, culminating in Ben's favorite movie, The Last Airbender.
Doug, stop it.
But he kind of found his niche there for a while. He made The Visit. He made some good horror movies. Split, I kind of put into that category.
I heard The Visit was pretty good.
Yeah, The Visit was really, you know, for a horror movie, which I'm not a huge fan of, I thought it was well done.
Was the other one called The Devil or something? The one where...
Oh, they're in an elevator and there's something like clawing at them or whatever. Yeah, I never saw that.
My Google's not working. I'm going to look up the exact title for you. Should have looked this up before we... Yeah, it's called Devil.
Aha.
But yeah, I think he found like a thing there with doing horror movies. And then he made Split, which was pretty good. James McAvoy was really, really good in that one. Playing a character with split personalities and in sort of a supernatural way, like where each personality is a literal different person just inhabiting the same body.
That's cool.
Then they brought that into the Unbreakable universe with Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, I'm back. And I decided I didn't want to talk anymore until we were talking about my favorite trailer.
Oh,
and,
man.
And that's now. The time is now. We're going to talk about Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Oh, man, I'm excited. Oh, man. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, I can't remember the young... Who she plays 11 in Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's Millie Bobby Brown.
Okay.
Yep.
Don't know exactly what role she's playing in this, but I think she's a fantastic young actress. So I'm excited to see her in other things. Although...
Other things besides Stranger Things?
Yeah, other Stranger Things.
Do you get it?
Although in this, I did get it. I got it. It was good. I did feel like she her character's kind of hitting the same note, which is like young, maybe psychic somehow.
Definitely screaming while something's happening to her.
Yeah.
Not even to her, around
her. Around her. Which, you know, nothing against her. If she does, if you do it well, get after it. But, yeah. Seems a little similar note.
That was your takeaway from the trailer?
That was my takeaway from her role in the trailer. My takeaway from the trailer is, oh man, monsters fighting.
Yeah.
Caveat, my takeaway from the Transformers trailer was... Oh man, Transformers fighting.
Well, sure.
So I'm keeping my expectations in check, but all of the monsters look amazing. Yeah. Let me say that again. All of the monsters look amazing.
Here's the monsters we got. We got Godzilla, obviously. Yeah.
Godzilla emerging from the ocean.
Yep. He's down there. He's recharging, probably. I anticipate that's why he's down at the bottom of the ocean, glowing. We got Mothra.
We do.
Mm. We got what I assume is Rodan.
Is that the flying pterodactyl looking one?
Yeah, the like lava flying off its back kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
I assume that's Rodan. Don't know what else it would be. It could be a new thing. Because I did think that about the 2014 Godzilla with the flying monster that they showed in the trailers.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that was Rodan, and it was not. It was a whole new thing that they created. I'm guessing they're going to go to the well with this one and just do the classic monsters.
They should. There's no reason not to.
Oh, yeah.
There's a million monsters.
Which they're called leads Titans now, apparently.
Titans, but I'm okay with that. Because, I mean, if scientists found these things under the Earth's crust in big caverns, would they call them monsters? Probably not. They'd probably call them Titans or something, because Titans at least draws from mythology to say these giant things.
That's a good point.
That's true, yeah.
That being said,
I forgot
King Ghidra.
I forgot one monster. Oh, yes.
Mm. Definitely. Oh. Unquestionably in there.
Oh my god.
But forget not that the title is Godzilla, King of the Monsters. So we shall see who is king.
Well, to quote Highlander, a non-Godzilla movie, there can be only one. Did you like
Are we sure
how they had
that Highlander is not Godzilla canon? Are you positive?
I can't prove that, no.
See?
There's nothing that says it is
Sotsker.
I could actually probably, if we spent some time, we could probably prove that it is canon.
Get on to Sotsker's. I need you to take to Reddit. Let's find.
To do some degrees of separation here. Did you like that they had Tywin Lannister say, long live the king?
Yeah. I thought that was terribly not subtle.
A little on the nose.
Like tragically on the nose and not subtle at all.
But if you of everybody else in that movie, who has a better voice, just literal voice, to say that than the guy who played Tywin Lannister, who I'm not looking up the actor's name?
For sure. No, I mean, yeah, if someone has to say that line, it's that guy.
I'm very excited for that movie. I did like the first one, the 2014 Godzilla, a lot, even though it definitely had those moments where it wasn't the monsters fighting as much as maybe it should have been.
Sure.
But Charles Dance, by the way, plays Tywin Lannister.
You just drew that from your memory? You didn't look it up? Crazy.
But yeah, I did. It typically, the way my memory works is I say a thing, I have a very long pause, nowhere near a computer, and then it just comes to me like that.
That seems reasonable. It seems legit.
You are a font of knowledge, Douglas.
I ask Jeeves. I call my brain Jeeves. I ask Jeeves, what's the answer? but yeah, I'm very excited for this movie. It's going to be silly popcorn action.
I had it saved in my notes. My note is Godzilla Yoss. Y-A.
Oh, it's just so much Yoss.
Yoss.
Like, if they find a way to make this movie 2 hours and 90 minutes of it is monster fighting, that's the movie I'm signed on for. I think you're probably right.
Probably not going to be that.
Oh, yeah, you racists hated Kong Skull Island.
Wait. So,
whoa, now.
Sort of.
I have not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have not seen Kong Skull Island.
You didn't
There's only one
it?
Racist.
What? Oh. It was the movie.
I never watched.
Yeah, it was when Ben was back in town. You guys were watching it when I left your house.
Yeah, Aaron, I don't know if you finished watching it with Dad and I, but.
I don't remember that at all.
Dad and I definitely watched it.
I.
Yeah.
Seriously? I do not remember that at all.
It was Samuel L. Jackson fighting a giant gorilla. Do you remember? Does this ring a bell?
Yeah. He gets killed right before he gets to say motherfucker.
Okay. I guess I don't remember.
That's very early in the film.
Maybe I didn't finish watching that. Maybe I just went to bed.
Maybe you just didn't like it that much.
Maybe not. I don't know.
First of all, I liked it.
I couldn't get past the dialogue. It was so corny and terrible.
Well, I understand that, and it definitely had those moments, like a little bit of eye roll, but it's, I don't know. I hate when people do this, so it's annoying that I'm about to do it, but like it's a monster movie, so you have to give it a little bit of slack. Now, having said that,
sure,
you can do bad movies well. Like movies that know what they are and execute it properly versus movies that
sure,
I guess just don't
think
know what they are.
Themselves something greater than they are.
Right. You know the difference between like a Sharknado type movie and a Jaws 4 type movie.
Ah.
Like Sharknado knew what the score was.
Right.
Yes. Jaws 4 deigned itself a sequel to Jaws, which in numerically it was, but ugh.
Sotskers, if you have not, do yourself a favor, go and watch Godzilla King of the Monsters trailer and enjoy the hype. Get hyped. When does that movie come out?
It comes out next year. Right. Let me, May 31st.
I wanna say,
so probably Labor Day weekend of next year.
Okay.
May 31st.
A little too late to be a birthday movie for me, but
You'll want to get caught up. You'll want to see 2014 Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Kick-Ass and Bryan Cranston and Scarlet Witch from the Avengers movies.
I forgot Kick-Ass was in there. I completely forgot about that.
You'll also probably want to see Kong Skull Island because Godzilla King of the Monsters comes out next year, but guess what follows up in 2020? Kong versus Godzilla.
All right.
That's right. They've created a monsterverse.
So we know Godzilla survives Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to kill. I don't envision a scenario where they ever kill Godzilla in an American version of Godzilla.
No.
Didn't they in the Matthew Broderick version? Didn't they kill him?
Yeah, they did, but then that egg hatched at the end.
Uh-huh.
So they killed Godzilla, but I'm paraphrasing.
But Debbie Godzilla? Begins,
but isn't Godzilla more than a man?
Good point, Doug. Good point.
You got us there.
That's 2021. Godzilla versus Kong versus Batman.
2022, King Kong versus Godzilla versus Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, King of the Monster Skull Islands.
Super Skull Island.
King Kong goes, Martha? And Godzilla goes, Mother!
You had a Mothra joke in there.
Yeah.
But I think you let it slip away.
Yeah. Those, I'm going to say it. Those are the best impersonations I've ever heard.
Stay tuned, Sotskers. It just goes up from here.
That was for you, Num One Hug Ninja.
It was really for you, Pants Manager.
Who's honking their
Me.
Horn?
Let's move. Come on. More to talk about. Godzilla King of the Monsters. Go look at it. So that's, I think those are the big.
Yeah, do you watch
those? Those are the main movie trailers.
There were a few more trailers that came out at Comic-Con, some made-for-TV movies, some series, TV show series. So let's talk, if we can each kind of maybe pick one to bring up here.
Okay. Yeah, I've got mine.
Let me go last because I was totally so prepared.
Aaron, go ahead.
I'll go ahead and chime in. So, coming to Cartoon Network, I believe later this year, is a Steven Universe movie. Now, obviously, coming to a Cartoon Network, labeled Cartoon Network, it's more than likely just going to be an extended episode of Steven Universe proper. Which is weird, because from what I've seen, I enjoy Steven Universe. I like the songs, I like the premise, I like the themes that they touch upon. But I wouldn't really say I've seen a whole lot of Steven Universe. I've seen a lot of season one, so to speak. But anything beyond that is just kind of whatever clips show up on YouTube. As part of that effect, I know some of the big plot twists, plot devices, what they reveal later on.
Okay.
So I kind of have a rough idea where the series is gone or is going. But either way, it was kind of a surprise to Steven
I love
Universe
Steven Universe.
Fans.
I'm not entirely caught up.
We'll see.
Every single thing I've seen, I love to death. The music, like you said, is amazing. Even the battle scenes for something that Cartoon Network is putting together is, and that's not to say I don't.
Yeah.
Cartoon Network is like my favorite TV station. It's mostly what I watch, but you know, not necessarily known for its action outside of like Toonami and the anime series that it shows. Steven Universe has excellent action, great. Like story development, great songs, a nice, lighthearted, optimistic protagonist that is easy to root for. And I'll say this: very gender.
I mean, all across
inclusive.
The board, it is a wonderful show.
All of the superheroes in that show, all the super race, the gems are female in identification.
Oh, yeah.
I should
Definitely.
Say, you know, they truly. They have no gender, really, but they tend to.
Yeah, a lot of.
I'm on to my third, by the way. I moved on to an
Angel
City Brewery Pilsner.
Only two beers, guys. That's or one and a half.
They're right from here. I need to get going. Los Angeles, where I'm from. Los Angeles.
Oh wow. But yes, a lot of
what?
So anyway, Steven Universe, a lot of the gems have feminine characteristics, but are truly genderless. However, given that, they're able to touch upon a lot of different themes regarding, you know, what makes somebody a woman, what makes somebody a man, what makes somebody completely different. You know, you don't. I shouldn't say completely different. That's probably not a great.
What sets us apart ultimately?
No, Steven Universe is a fantastic show, and it's a fantastic
a nice
fictional universe.
From Doug. Good save.
I cannot wait to show the kids that I have someday. I would love to sit down, little Ben and little Benina. That's my son. Well, the daughter is Ben, and the son is Benina. So I'm very progressive.
You would name them Ben and Benina.
None.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So no, great pick.
I'm sure
I think
that won't create any complications.
Call them both Ben for sure.
But anyway.
Doug, you're still going last. So let me go. I'm very excited to introduce. Mine is also a cartoon, but mine is coming out to a little network known as Nickelodeon, otherwise known as the channel you watched when you were a kid.
Do they still do Snick? Is this going to be on Snick?
It's not going to be on Snick. I don't think they do Snick. They haven't. I don't think they've done Snick since like 1996.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have.
Yeah, I think they killed that a while ago.
But
yeah.
This is from one of the later, like, when Nickelodeon lost its power and Cartoon Network gained it. Like, it's from that era. And it was one of Nickelodeon's last true great animated shows. And they're coming back with a movie that, God, I hope leads to a new series. But the movie is simply called Invader Zim, Enter the Florpus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a new
one.
Oh, God, it looks funny.
I forgot about that.
A new Invader Zim movie coming to Nickelodeon. Yeah. Not to mention, and this, I don't think there was anything about this at Comic-Con, there is a Rocko's Modern Life movie coming to Nickelodeon, too.
I don't think
there's anything about that at Comic-Con. But, yeah, they showed. Every trailer I've seen has only been a musical score over footage, so there's no dialogue. But you can tell that it's a few years in the future, because though Zim looks the same, Dib and Gaz, the human that hunted him, was that Dib?
That sounds right.
I've never watched the show, sorry.
I think it's something like that. He appears older, and so does his sister Gaz. So it's a few years in the future, although we see Invader Zim, we see the Urken tallest, the leaders of the Urken Empire. We see Gurr, we see the little floating moose. I'm excited, but it's only a musical score. We haven't heard the voices, and that makes me a little nervous. Makes me a
like
little
you think
nervous.
Maybe they're not the same voice actors, or
I'm almost positive they are, but you know, I'm trying to think. Have you watched? Do you watch Portlandia at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So the first few seasons, a lot of those characters sound very different than they do in the seasons currently. And that's true in a lot of cartoon shows.
Sure. Futurama.
But Futurama, The Simpsons, Family Guy, I mean, name it.
Homer Simpson from season one to now.
Oh, yeah. What I'm getting at is that when you are watching season to season, episode to episode, the transition from one voice to the other is gradual and natural, and you kind of, your ears adjust with it. My concern is that maybe there's a hard gap in how different they sound in this movie versus the end of, you know, where the series left off, and they're trying to kind of maybe downplay that in the trailers. I'm probably being paranoid, but...
Yeah, you could be, but I mean, maybe, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they are doing that intentionally so they can skip ahead in time. Because, I mean, it's been a while since that show was on
I can't
air,
think
right?
Of when,
like, more than 10 years?
I can look it up, but I think it was like 2004 when it ended.
Okay. So, yeah, quite a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, 2004 was the last season.
Yeah, that ought to be good.
Yeah, that's a show I should have gotten into, it sounds like, from all the people I know who watched it when it was on, but I just never... never did.
The show is great. The general fan base...
yeah.
Wait a minute, Aaron. Are you sure you aren't talking about every time I ever... This...
Rick and Morty.
Well, now that you mention it.
Are you sure you weren't talking about Marvel, yeah. DC?
No, you're absolutely...
Video game. Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
That
was the thing, like I said about Harry Potter earlier. Oh, are you a Harry Potter fan?
Yeah.
No. I enjoyed it a lot, but
sure.
It's unfortunately not the same thing anymore with so many pop culture things. So mine's a little bit different. The trailer for the particular show premiered slightly before Comic-Con. But DC's Titans.
Mm. Okay.
With the infamous F Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, I know what they're doing there. And that's what it sounds like, is that's going to be the flagship show to launch DC's own streaming network, which is a thing that's happening. Yeah, I mean, it depends on what they let people kind of do. If they let creators make shows and they're comfortable with it, kind of like Netflix was early on, and Netflix tries to still do now, they just have... Netflix finally has misses. But the show doesn't look like it's a thing that I'm going to watch, but they're definitely taking something in a new direction, which should be applauded. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I mean, but that had people talking, if nothing else. My big concern with it is everyone kind of makes fun of the DC universe, as we did earlier, with that, the dark and gritty realism. Like, that's not everything. Dark and gritty Robin is not a thing that people...
I really don't think there are that many people who are outside the age range of, like, 13 to 17 who care about an edgy, like, Nightwing story. I was taught by a man who was fueled by revenge, and I want revenge for... I don't know why.
Right.
Grr. He was mean, he made me a crime-fighting machine. It rhymes. I hate it. Ooh. A little edgelord. I mean, that's pretty much
I really hope that was his entire origin story.
Oh, this thing
that's
rhymes.
What happens when, like, angst. The goody-goody teacher's pet gets raised by, or is taught by, a sociopath.
We don't say that enough about Batman, do we? Batman's a sociopath.
Batman is definitely a sociopath.
Well,
yeah.
Like, he generally aligns with the morality of society,
but not because it benefits society.
Right.
Because it gives...
Well, in his mind it does, because he's a sociopath.
In his mind it does, but it gives him a justifiable route for his, or channel for his violent anger.
True.
Next time on Sot's Thoughts.
That would be fascinating if we actually ever did that podcast. A look into how our minds operate and how we view the world around us.
Hey.
Any final Comic-Con thoughts? Anything that we didn't touch on that you guys saw that you were interested by?
Don't look up Comic-Con don't look up best trailers from Comic-Con. Okay, just don't do it. Look up the individual movie trailers. Because when you look up best trailers from Comic-Con, you get a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't. I know Dad really likes The Walking Dead. I don't care what's happening in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, neither do I.
The Voltron series. I don't care what's happening in the latest series, like season of Amazon's Voltron.
I've, about that.
I've actually heard it's not bad, but
I'm sure
maybe...
it's not bad, but like. I don't know. I'm bitter. Bring back He-Man.
They're bringing back Thundercat.
Oh, that much I didn't know. I thought you were going to bring up She-Ra, because they're bringing back She-Ra.
That actually looks it.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know. It looks like it could be good.
I think it looks good too, but you know how like when things don't look like they did 35 to 40 years ago, people are instantly outraged.
Yeah.
The character doesn't look anything like. Well, it kind of does. It just looks like maybe a different artist drew it this time. Yeah.
I haven't seen any. I've seen the drawings.
Extra stupid though. I would have that.
But here's the thing: I thought the same thing when I saw the first few seasons of the Teen Titans Go show. I was like, because I was a fan of the original Teen Titans cartoon on Cartoon Network. Great character development, you know, it was good action. It kept me invested and excited. I was really against the Teen Titans Go reboot for the first probably 4 seasons. And the more I have seen episodes of it, the more I actually love it. It kills me. The writers on there are really good. You can tell that the voice actors are having a really fun time, and the sound design is also really fun. Now, and one of the things that a point that they actually make in that cartoon, because that one of the best things that cartoon does is get very meta. But one of the points that they make is like, hey, if no one liked one version, like if you liked one version of the show, but it wasn't selling and people try to make another version of it that does better, give it a chance. Like maybe they just found a better voice for this series. So maybe, because like they did a reboot of Thundercats that was really character driven, and they did kind of a cool revamp of the world, and it lasted one season and I really liked it, and that was it. Now they're bringing it back in a much more cartoony vein. I haven't seen any trailers of it, but I'm willing to give it a chance.
Well, I think with TV shows especially,
yeah,
just give it a chance, because if you watch a couple episodes, 2-3 episodes, and you don't like it, you can just stop watching it.
I think that's probably, yeah. Long episode,
I should probably about wrap it up.
There you have
any final thoughts?
Yeah, we've had a bit of an extended episode, but that's all right. Well, thank you for sticking around. We are the Sots. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Twitter and Instagram @SotsWatch, SotsWatch. on Facebook. You can just look up.
Yeah, guys, blow up that subscribe button.
Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe.
Don't forget to comment which food each of the four Hogwarts houses would be. I really want to know, actually.
Yes, very, very important debate. I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. But also leave some ideas of what topics you would like to hear us talk about. Or some that you wouldn't, because we'll do those too.
Yeah, we'll definitely do the ones you wouldn't want to hear. Yeah.
So once again, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good night.
Keep watching, Sots.